The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and hopefully have a bit of fun as we study the words of the awesome men and women that God has called to direct His church in these the latter days. I'm Matthew Watkins.
And I'm Spencer Bowis. This episode, we're talking about Elder Robert M. Dane's address. Sir, we would like to see Jesus.
Yes, we would. And Elder Dane's may not be a household name. He was just barely called as a member of the Quorum of the 70 in the previous conference, in the April 2023 conference. So he's brand new. This is his first talk. They only gave him, I guess, 6 months to prepare it. So a little bit of bio on him. At the time that he was called, he had previously been serving as a stake president. He served in a number of church callings. He was a full-time missionary in the Zurich, Switzerland mission. Been an early morning seminary teacher, nursery leader. I'm sure that's one of his most favorites. High counselor and bishop, which can sometimes feel like nursery leader is what I'm told.
I like that he added the nursery leader. But yeah, he gave a great talk that talks about a new concept that to me called face blindness. And in this talk, he discusses his own confrontations with face blindness, particularly spiritual face blindness, and also gives us some suggestions on how we can overcome that.
Now, this talk really resonated with me because, unlike you, face blindness is a very, very well-known concept to me. And the medical term, which he does not use in the talk, is called prosopagnosia. And I discovered that I have it. So all of my life, I've struggled to connect names and faces. And I just thought it was because I wasn't paying close enough attention, or maybe I didn't care enough about people. And then I started going through life. And my wife, once we got married, she said, listen, you really have a problem. The fact that I have to introduce you to a friend 8 times over the course of months before their name and face finally stick, that's a problem. And of course, all this time, you know, serving in church leadership and stuff, I could remember people's stories. I could remember their situations by their name. I could say, oh, that's Sister Zollinger. She's da-da-da-da-da-da. But could I, you know, point her out in the ward? Absolutely not. Not even after I'd met her 3 times. So I thought that was just normal. I thought maybe it was just me. But no, it affects millions of people. It's called prosopagnosia. And I do not have it as badly as what Elder Dane's described with the World War II veteran.
Wow, Matt, I did not know that about you, but yeah, I don't have that problem. I'm pretty good with names and faces, but yeah, in his address, he talks about this veteran who develops face blindness after an accident during war, and then he talks about his own experience with face blindness as a young boy with his mother, where he just saw his mom as, you know, here are the rules, you got to follow them. And this is it. And I think...
Boy, isn't that the way so many people view God today, huh? He's either a vending machine or a dictator, and there's no real in between, huh?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And I sometimes admittedly see him as a vending machine. But what I love about this talk is that we can actually see him not as a dictator or as a vending machine, but we can see him for what he is, as our Father in heaven.
That's right. So when he talked about the stories, he talked about his mother, and he talked about coming to know who she really was. This made me think of that scripture. I believe it's in Jacob, right? It says, the Spirit speaks of things as they really are, and as they really were, and as they really shall be. The Spirit is what gives us this ability to see beyond the outside, to be able to discern the true nature of people, and especially to develop that relationship with our Heavenly Father beyond just the transactional nature that sometimes we boil religion down to.
Right. That reminds me, I was just reading in the Book of Mormon in 3rd Nephi when Jesus Christ appears to the Nephites and, you know, they hear Heavenly Father's voice as they're gathered around the temple and they're not sure what it means. And then, you know, the third time they see, it says they saw a man descending out of heaven and he was clothed in a white robe. Later it says, you know, they durst not open their mouths. even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they had thought it was an angel, right? They were essentially this face blind to who Jesus Christ was. But what I love about it is that later on, they overcome that face blindness, not only because he announces himself as, hey, I'm Jesus Christ, light and life of the world, but they also had the experience to go one by one and, you know, touch the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. And it says that they did witness for themselves after that.
And that one by one, I remember this quote from Elder Costa in General Conference that we'll get to later. One of the big quotes of this conference, covenants are not merely transactional. They are transformational. The point that we're trying to get at is that our relationship with God is not merely one of Lord and servant or transactional nature where we ask for blessings and sometimes receive it. We are supposed to develop a relationship with him. And when Elder Daines talks about developing a relationship with our Savior, he throws in this great quote and then he hides it in the footnotes. General authorities often do that. They put their biggest gems in the footnotes. But this quote from Elder Bednar, and this is just from the conference before, but it's a beautiful quote. He said, some church members accept as true the doctrine, principles, and testimonies proclaimed repeatedly from this pulpit in the conference center and in local congregations around the world. And yet, many struggle to believe these eternal truths apply specifically in their lives and to their circumstances. Boy, how often have you seen that where people say the atonement as a principle is great, but surely it can't apply to me. Surely it can't reach me. I love how Elder Uchtdorf, this conference, quoted Elder Holland, who didn't get a chance to speak. Elder Holland's great quote says, you can't sink any lower than the light of Christ shines, yet somehow we can't seem to take Christ at his word that he can indeed save us individually.
Yeah, Matt, I had that same thought as I was reading this talk. I was like, you know, we're talking about face blindness here, but how often are we, I guess it would be deaf to the words of our Savior Jesus Christ that we know they apply in general to everybody, but when it becomes personal, we sometimes overlook the true meaning of Christ's words. And that reminds me of another quote mentioned in this talk. He quotes President Nelson. He says, the more you learn about the Savior, the easier it will be to trust in his mercy, his infinite love, and the more you will trust and love your Heavenly Father. For me, I know that to be 100% true, because as becoming a father, I have two children and a third on the way, but I just dove into like, how do I be a father? And one concept I read was, you know, unconditional love. And I was like, oh, this is great. I gotta spoil, not spoil my kids, but, you know, spoil them with love. How do I do this? And as I learned that concept, it was so awesome to see how our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ have unconditional love for us. And that has become something that, you know, I was blind to before, but I can see it now.
Yeah, we get so caught up in the checklist. Now, don't get me wrong. I love a good checklist. A checklist helps me stay motivated. It helps me stay organized. It helps me plan and really come out with a purpose what I'm trying to accomplish. And I'm a big fan of checklists in the gospel, right? It's a great place to start. Ideally, we should be ministering because we love those we're assigned to minister to. But if we don't yet have that measure of love, it's okay to start with, I'm doing this because of my priesthood duty. That's okay. That is a fine starting point. But we have to eventually move beyond that. And Elder Daines talks about when he was younger, he had trouble moving beyond that. He said, I thought my life was about following rules and measuring up to abstract standards. Again, not bad standards. Don't diss the standards. Measuring up to standards was the purpose. There was no deeper meaning. He says, I knew God loved you perfectly, but didn't feel it myself. I'm afraid I thought more about getting into heaven than being with my Heavenly Father. It was about the place, not about the relationship.
Yeah. He mentions more about that challenge also later in his talk, where he talks about how covenants is God's embrace for us, how we can, you know, mutually feel love for our Heavenly Father, and he can feel our love for him as we honor our covenants and keep those covenants. But he says our challenge is to understand and to shape our life to that love. And that reminded me of, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard of it, the talk of grace by Brother Brad Wilcox, where he makes mention of this kid who they're like, he struggles with living the gospel, and they're like, you know, we got to get him to EFY. EFY is going to change him. And they got him to EFY, and it wasn't even through the first day. And he was asking, you know, as leaders, you know, get me out of here kind of thing. And then Elder Wilcox continues to expound on that, on how, you know, if we don't change ourselves to see the covenants and commandments as God's love and how they help us become more like him, when we get to heaven, we're also going to be saying, you know, get me out of here, because we're not changing and shaping ourselves to become more like our Father in heaven and have a relationship with him.
Yep. It goes back to transactional versus transformational, just like Elder Costa talked about. We don't just want to get into heaven. We want to learn to love heavenly things. And I mean, think about it. What kind of life does Heavenly Father live? It's so easy to think, oh, it's painless and it's glory and it's ultimate cosmic power. What does he do all day, every day? Serve his children, weep over them, mourn and grieve when they make bad choices, sacrifice his only begotten son, go through such exquisite pain. His entire life, his entire work in glory, his entire purpose as a God is to bless his children, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. If you don't want to serve people, you're not going to like the celestial kingdom, because that's all we're going to be doing, apparently.
Yep, unfortunately, that's true. I mean, unfortunately for those who don't want it, I guess.
His great quote here about covenants are the shape of God's embrace. He says, our challenge is to understand and shape our life to that love, like you said. He said, until we see Jesus as the face of our Father's love and follow him, not just his rules. And it's so hard to put those rules into the proper context. I want to share a quick story. My mission president brought us in zone conference, and what do mission presidents always talk about? Elders, we're not following the rules enough. It's always obedience, 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 obedience. And finally, he said, look, elders and sisters, I need you to understand something. He opened up into Doctrine and Covenants. I forget the exact section. I want to say it was in the 50s, 59, 58, where the Lord is promising blessings upon the heads of the saints. And he promises all these blessings of success and wonders and miracles. And then he says, and with commandments, not a few. And at this point, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, the White Handbook, the Missionary Rule Book, it's already like 86 pages long. I've already memorized most of it. It's this onerous, burdensome thing that sometimes even gets in the way of the work. And like, how are rules, how are commandments a blessing? Why would you like, oh, good job obeying these commandments. Here's some more. Like, aren't they kind of, you know, these temporary things we just have to deal with because we're not good enough? Like, why, if I'm obeying, would you like give me a tighter leash, you know? And he said, elders and sisters, never forget this. Commandments are the secrets of godliness. Commandments aren't just restrictions to just test us and see if we'll obey. He's telling us, you want to be like me. This is how you become like me. This is how you become the type of person that you want to be. So if we just look at it, rules, restrictions, we're going to miss it entirely.
Yeah, that is a great story from your mission president. And I don't know, it just makes me think of, you know, Elder Danes here in his talk. He admits that he struggled with seeing those things, the commandments, as, you know, God's love. And I think we all go through that as we deepen our conversion to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But one of the things he mentions that he does to help him overcome this spiritual face blindness is he really dives into charity, right? And he talks about the scripture found in Moroni chapter 7, verse 48. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart. Later on, it says that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I love that. For me, my mission, I dove into charity, and it is transformational as you strive to develop this attribute Jesus Christ has. We get to pray to him and ask for his help. And as we develop this attribute of charity, we become more like him so that we can see him in our lives. And not only that, as Elder Danes mentions at the very end of his address, is that we can also be vessels of Christ's mercy to his children. I just love the idea of that.
Speaking of on charity here, there are some commandments in the Gospels that are very easy. Maybe not easy. They're very black and white. Right, let's take tithe paying. Of course, there's questions, net versus growth, all that stuff doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, you either pay it or you don't. Right, and it doesn't really matter how you feel about tithing. It doesn't really matter where your heart is. you kind of get credit for the action, right? But when it comes to charity, the commandment to have charity, well, then it's different because you can't just say, oh, well, I've got charity because I grudgingly go and do these things. No, having charity is a change of heart. It's having love of Christ. And nowadays, we speak of love as such a thing that befalls us. It happens to us. I like to bring up the Frank Sinatra song. I can't help, or no, I'm sorry, that is Elvis. That is not Frank Sinatra. What am I saying? Did Elvis do a cover of it, Frank Sinatra? I don't know. Anyways, there's a song, Before I Was Born, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. That completely destroys the idea of agency. And that's not the kind of love that God asks us to have. Charity is a love that we can develop and practice. Now, we can't just wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm going to love someone. I'm going to feel in love. I'm going to decide what I'm going to feel. We may not have that fine grain of control. That's why he says it's a spiritual gift. What do you need to do if you need to start loving someone? You pray for it. Ask God to change your heart in ways that you can't change yourself.
That reminds me of a story on my mission. I had just gone to this new area, new companion, and it was just all new to me. And I had been in the mission for a year and a half, but this was new to me. And I just struggled with my companion. And I remember walking up the steps at the end of a long day, I'm about to open the door and go in. And I just, you know, had this thought. It was more revelation. You know, Heavenly Father taps me on the shoulder and he's like, hey, you can either learn charity now or you can learn it up in heaven. Either way, you're going to have to learn it. You're going to have to learn charity. And I was like, you know, I might as well start learning that now.
Boy, that's such a father thing. Son, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way.
Oh, yeah.
And it is easier to develop charity from what we understand. From what we understand from the revelations is it is far easier to repent and to make substantive changes to our natures here on this planet, here in this life, than it is after we are dead. Basically, it's just much, much harder to correct course when you don't have the traction, the friction of a physical body and physical experience in the veil to help you out.
Another thing I liked from Elder Dane's talk is he talks about studying the Gospels, and specifically what he did was he looked at what Jesus Christ did and said and tried to just study Jesus Christ, essentially. And one of the questions he asks during this address is, you know, what's your favorite story of Jesus? And Matt, I would like to share mine just because I love the story. And I think it talks a lot about Jesus or says a lot about his character and who he is. But my favorite story is in New Testament. I'm sure you can find it in, you know, the four Gospels. But the one I'm going to quote from is from Luke 8. And it's the story of the woman with the issue of blood, right? Her faith is just so beautiful to me in this. But what's awesome, right, focusing more on our Savior Jesus Christ, is he stops while he's walking, right, to go heal Jairus's daughter. And he stops. Everybody's around him. Everybody's touching him. He feels this lady touch the hem of his garment. He perceives that power, virtue has gone out of him. And he just stops and singles this woman out to tell her how great her faith is. And I would love to just be that woman, not necessarily have her, you know, issue, but I would love to hear Jesus Christ talk about me that way. And I think that is why I love this story so much, is because Jesus always focuses on the individuals. And as we, you know, do the spiritual work necessary, talking about developing his attributes, honoring and keeping our sacred covenants with him, that we can all have this experience that, you know, the lady with the issue of blood has, that we can receive Christ's virtue, his power in our lives.
That's a fantastic story. And I hope we can all learn to see Jesus in this light. Now it takes some time. There are a lot of people who feel very distant from God. They feel a great disconnect between the blessings that they want or even have been promised and what they're currently experiencing. They feel like the heavens are brass. One of the things I learned just a few weeks ago was even Mother Teresa, right, spent 50 years feeling like God just wasn't talking to her. She'd had powerful spiritual experiences earlier in her life, but for 50 straight years, She felt a lot like the Savior, wondering, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, that didn't stop her from expressing her faith and doing the amazing good that she did. But if she can go through that, you know, we all sort of have these times. And Elder Dane speaks to this. He said, God is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. If you see him differently, please keep trying. Right? So everyone right now who's feeling alone and dejected and lost by God, he says, hey, the ball's in your court. Learn to see God differently. Learn to get past your face blindness and see him for who he is, even when it's hard.
The Spirit must have been working through us, because I had that same thought of, Mother Teresa kind of experienced this too. That's awesome that we had that connection.
Well, I love when amazing, powerful spiritual giants do something. I'm like, I can relate to that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Look at that. They're almost normal. I love that he quoted Redeemer of Israel here at the end. And I don't know. I mean, I'd have to check it out. Is this one of the verses that we sing normally, or is this one of the verses stuck at the bottom of the page that we skip during sacrament meeting? I'm going to read the lyrics here because they are just so beautiful. And maybe if you are the music coordinator in your ward, dear audience, make sure that this verse gets sung if it's not one of the normal verses. Restore, my dear Savior, the light of thy face, thy soul cheering comfort impart, and let the sweet longing for thy holy place bring hope to my desolate heart. And he closes with a prayer. He says, may we seek his loving face and then be vessels of his mercy to his children. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And what a beautiful ending for that. This is one of this conference had several talks that were kind of hard-hitting ones, talks that maybe kind of burned some people a little bit. But this talk was just a beautiful spiritual uplift of comfort and hope. And boy, do we need that now.
That is beautiful, Matt. Thank you for sharing that. I would totally agree and encourage whoever is listening that, if you know somebody is struggling, or if you are struggling yourself, just put in the work that is necessary for you to have a relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. I know he'll reach out. And yeah, what more can I say than that?
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discussed Elder Dane's address, Sir, We Would See Jesus.
If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org.
While you're at conferencetalk.org, drop us a comment, follow us on social media, learn more about your hosts.
If you want to follow me, Spencer Bowis, you can find me on Instagram at Papa Bowis.
Papa Bowis. That is awesome. And if you want to find me, my username is doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as much, but you can find me on Twitter at JoyfulRepenter or my blog, powerinthebook.com.
But while we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves.
Yep. Even though we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast, those are our own personal opinions.
Join us next week for some more personal opinions. Next week on the Conference Talk Podcast.